Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram time.
It's 6 o'clock.
You're listening to WSKV 104.9, Pickup Country, since 1974.
Good evening and hello everyone. Welcome to Pick Your Own Adventure. Get those phones ready. I'm your host, Clarissa Arvin, the bookmobile driver at the Powell County Public Library. We're about to embark on a journey together. You can listen right here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Pickup Country 104.9 FM or online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with the WSKV FM mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts. Live listeners can choose our path by texting WSKV in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. But first, beware and warning. The books you're about to hear are not like any regular books. During Pick Your Own Adventure, you and you alone are in charge of what happens next in our stories. There are dangers, choices, adventures, and consequences. You must be quick on your feet and ready to use your wit, talents, and bravery. The wrong decision could end in disaster, or worse. But the choice is yours. When prompted to alter the fate of the story, just text your decision in real time to WSKB at 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. Get ready to be on the edge of your seat and let's get started. So, last time we started the story, Snake Invasion by Doug Wilhelm. Our friend Jack had informed us that our dog Zelda was missing from the yard and that a huge snake had grabbed her. We decided to take a baseball bat and go with Jack to see if we could find where the snake went. Ends up, the snake's trail stops at the water's edge, which is no surprise considering we live at the edge of the Everglades of Florida. It seems sadly there is no hope for our dog Zelda, but there may be hope in catching the snake. There had been other reports in our neighborhood of pets gone missing, so in theory, the same snake that got our Zelda may also have gotten the others. We decided to try to get some help from Animal Rescue, which ended up being a bust, and no help at all. So, we decided to start a blog and have our own investigation, which leads us to meeting Tommy. He seems to know the history of the Everglades and that something has recently thrown the off life's balance, causing more snakes to come out. It seems he will be able to help us get the snake in what might be a new mystery. So, let's continue. Tommy continued to explain. They're overrunning the Everglades. Giant snakes that aren't from here and that eat almost anything. They've been wiping out the small wild animals, the possums, the raccoons, and so far, plus the eggs of the big birds. When all that food is gone, Tommy says, we've been worried they'll start coming for the pets and all these new neighborhoods on the edge of the water. There's a lot of python prey. Tommy asks you to meet him back at the boat access tonight at midnight. Burmese pythons are nocturnal, he explains. So are some of the shadier people around here. Nervously, you both agree to sneak out and meet him. If you get caught, your parents will be beyond furious. But for some reason, you trust Tommy. Just after midnight, you're back at the water, this time in a flat-bottomed skiff that Tommy pulls across the shallows to the island. The water shines in the light of the full moon. Okay. Here's the plan, he says, when you reach the island. There's a larger hammock, not far from here, and lately something hasn't been right about that place. I want to check it out. I need one of you to come with me. We'll both come, Jack says, but Tommy shakes his head. I need one person to stay here, for emergency contact, he says. If we get in trouble, we'll call you. Then you can call for help. Tommy reaches in a gym bag he's taken from the boat and pulls out a pistol. Jack's eyes get big. Whoever stays here, Tommy says, I want you to take this, just in case. If you take the gun and stay, text the number 42. If Jack stays and you go with Tommy, text the number 94. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided that Jack stays and we go along with Tommy. I'm going to go with you, you tell Tommy. Sorry, Jack. Jackson's eyes are focused on Tommy's pistol. Hey, no problem, he says. Don't you mess with this thing, Tommy tells him. You hear me? The safety's on. The gun is for emergency defense only. Sure, sure, Jack says, holding the pistol up to admire it. No problem. You climb into the bow of the skiff. As Tommy pushes off his pole, it glides away from the shore. What's so odd about this bigger island? You ask, keeping your voice very low. It's something we've noticed when my friends and I have gone past it, just lately, he answers softly. You pass through the shallow water in the moonlight. The glades at night are strange and mysterious. As Tommy pulls along, you hear creatures slip into the water. You hear something paddle through the water. Flying creatures dart across the darkness above. Whenever people go by this island, Tommy says, no birds rise. In the Everglades, Tommy explains, if your boat comes in close to any island that has trees, birds will lift up from those trees. Even if you sneak up in a little skiff like this, the birds know, and they fly. Standing in the aft end of the skiff, Tommy dips his pole again. As he pushes off, the boat glides ahead. So on this island, there are lots of trees, he says. But all of a sudden, there are no birds. There has to be a reason why. A reason occurs to you. It's chilling. What if the island is overrun with pythons? You ask. Tommy just points ahead. On the other side of the sawgrass, he says. That's where it is. He pulls the skiff into the grass and lets it stop. Tommy steps out of the boat. Careful, he warns. Sawgrass can cut you up, and there are creatures around here that are attracted by blood. He shows you how to push the grass downward so it doesn't slice into you. As quietly as possible, you two are moved through the tall, razor-sharp grass. After a while, Tommy motions you to stop. He waves, and you move forward carefully. Side by side, you two stay bent inside the grass. Tommy pushes it apart. There it is, he says. Ahead, across maybe 50 feet of shallow, open water, is the island. And it looks as if there's no possible way in. The edge of this island is so densely crowded by mangrove trees that it looks like a wall of jungle. The mangroves all rise above the roots, which have grown up above the water in pale, crazy tangles. If anything, it is there, past those mangroves, that the island, you can't see it. I know a way in, Tommy says. Follow me, quietly. He steps out into the open water. If there's something on the island that doesn't want you there, now you're at risk of being seen. But you have no choice. Tommy's the only one who knows where you are. You have to follow him. So you two step out of the grasses. You move very slowly across the water. Tommy leads you into a tangle of mangrove roots and looks impenetrable. Ducking low, the young boy, Tommy, pushes forward. Crouching to follow, you begin to creep into what you discover is a tunnel-like natural opening. You hold your breath as you stumble over roots down in the water. You catch your hand on a clustered roots all around. Feeling your way forward, you're creeped out. It's dark here. What creatures' homes might you have be invading? Ahead, Tommy stops. You hear his breath catch. He motions you forward. Cages. Big cages. Four big wire cages look ghostly in the moonlight. They stand nearly 5 feet high and at least 10 feet long. constructed from thick steel bars like the doors of a prison cells. The cages are clustered close together on a small patch of open ground that's surrounded by trees. What you're looking at is densely hemmed in, hidden from the outside world. You see a small, dark structure set back in those trees, but you can't see any lights or people around. Tommy figures it out first. Snakes, he hisses. They've got a whole lot of snakes in there. The long wire cages are filled with large, thick snakes. In the moonlight, you can just make out the big, dark patches that identify them. From your online research, you know those markings. Burmese pythons, you whisper. Tommy nods. He moves his mouth close to your ear. I don't see any people, he murmurs softly. Do you? You peer around. No. Someone put those snakes in these cages, he whispers. You freeze. Something is wrapping itself around your leg. You choke down a scream. Whatever's down there is twisting, curling itself around your lower left leg, and it's moving up. You lurch backward, grabbing at your leg, and the sound of you causes the snakes in those cages to wreathe and lurch. They're banging at the steel bars. A light comes on. Get down, Tommy whispers, and he pushes you back into the tunnel. That's the last direction you want to go in. Everything inside is screaming for you to spring out of your narrow, confined hiding space, to get out where you can try to pull the creature off your leg. If you tumble out, text the number 103. If you stay in the tunnel, text the number 108. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
Good songs.
Train station.
104.9. Pickup Country.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns,
mysteries,
and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
You can help prevent COVID-19 by knowing the signs and symptoms. If you have traveled to a high-risk area or been in contact with someone who tested positive for the virus and developed fever, cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider for further instructions. Get the facts at kycovid19.ky.gov because we're all part of Team Kentucky.
This message brought to you by Pickup Country, 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to tumble out. Nothing could be worse than letting a constrictor snake wrap itself around you. Tumbling out onto the ground, you reach back frantically, clawing at your leg. A snake has indeed wrapped itself around your right lower leg. It's not a huge snake. It looks young, and it must have mistaken your leg for a creature small enough to swallow. You shake your leg hard. The snake's head snaps back, and it bites into your flesh. Ow! You grab the reptile's head and yank it away from your thigh. Wrestling and rolling over, you unwrap the clenched thing, rung by rung, and now the spotlight catches you. Square on. Move one more inch and you're dead, says a voice. You pull the snake's last coil from your lower leg and fling it as far as you can. A bullet hits the ground several feet from your head. He's a bad shot, Tommy whispers from the tunnel. Run for it. Get him away from those cages so I can go take a look. That was a warning shot, the voice shouts again. Do not move. If you freeze, text the number 104. If you run for it, text the number 105. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to freeze where we're at. You lie silent and motionless. Tommy slithers back down the tunnel. Even this close, you can't hear him go. Footsteps approach. Over on your stomach, the voice orders. The spotlight hits you full in your face. You're blinded. You turn over onto your stomach. The spotlight illuminates the ground beside you. A hand seizes your right wrist, twists it behind your back, and holds it. You hear something else being set down. It must be the gun. You realize there's a split second before the man's other hand grabs your left wrist. If you move really fast, you might be able to snatch the gun. If you grab for the gun, text the number 113. If you don't take the chance, text the number 120. You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to grab for the gun. Your move is quick. You snatch the pistol, but your captor is just as fast. Both your hands close on the gun. You tug as hard as you can to pull from his grasp, but he's a grown man, and he's stronger. You're about to lose the struggle when you know it. In a desperate move, you twist your body and thrust your knee upward as much force as you can. Your knee catches the guy hard in the stomach. His breath bursts out of him as he doubles over. As he does, his hand jerks upward and fires his gun. The man jerks back and drops his pistol. He's shot his own shoulder. Adrenaline spikes through your body as you leap up and snatch the gun, training it on the man as he writhes on the ground. You shout out, "Tommy! Tommy! He's shot himself! I've got the gun!" You hear scrambling, then running, feet as Tommy joins you. The pistol wavers in your trembling hands. "Here," Tommy says gently. "I'll take the gun, okay?" "He's bleeding bad," you tell Tommy, nodding towards the man. "We should bind up his shoulder or something." "Right." Tommy rips a wide strip away from the base of his shirt. He winds it through the man's bleeding shoulder. Even before he's done, the bandage is soaked with blood. "Guess I need the whole thing," Tommy says, pulling the rest of his shirt over his head. As Tommy wraps his shirt around his wound, the man looks up at you. "You two are making a huge mistake," he says through teeth clenched against the pain. "You have no idea what kind of people you're dealing with here." "We might have some idea," Tommy says. "We've met you." "Very funny," the man says. "But I'm just a guard. When the real guys find out..." "Look, shut up, okay?" Tommy tells him. "We can either take you and get help, or we can leave you here to bleed to death. Your choice." The man curses. "I'll go," he says. "Right," Tommy answers. Now he turns to you. "I'm afraid you've got to stay here for a while." You gulp. "Here? By myself?" You nod towards the snake cages. "With them?" What follows is the longest hour of your life. The normal nighttime sounds of the Everglades all around you are weird and creepy enough. But they're nothing next to the wreathing, slithering tangles of thick snakes in the steel cages just a few feet away. You can't help flinching when the creatures bang against the steel bars. What if they get out? And what if, this is even scarier, what if the people that guy was working for do come back? How do you know they won't? You don't, but you have to stay. You've got no choice. Tommy took the wounded man in the skiff. You're picking up Jack, then head for the shore. You know all this because Jack keeps you posted via text message. "Won't be long now. We're on shore, heading for T's truck." But when you hear the roar of an airboat power through the night and realize it's heading your way, you feel panic rise in your throat. Tommy didn't bring his airboat tonight, so this isn't him. Whoever it is, they're fast. Jack's next text comes in. We're in a police boat. Got a big spotlight. Can you see us? You see them. The spotlight on the police airboat scans across the moonlight wetlands. It's searching for you. At last, you feel like you can breathe. The three police officers who brought Tommy and Jack on the airboat stand on the island puzzled, staring at the big cages. You know they must be wondering, why are these things filled with huge snakes? The cops find the little structure you spotted back in the trees. It's a steel shed. They break its padlock and discover sacks of reptile food, with labels from a major chain store. So these people were feeding the pythons. As dawn breaks with a rich, rosy glow over the eastern horizon, you and Tommy watch the police as they radio for more help. I don't think they just feeding those snakes, Tommy tells you. Looks to me like they were raising them. But why? The Everglades are full of these predators, you say. Why would anyone want to add more? Jack adds another problem. What are the police going to do with four cages full of pythons? Except for the little ones in the fourth cage, those snakes are huge. I mean huge. They seem to be hungry, too, Tommy observes. It's morning now, and you're hungry. Very hungry. So you're relieved and grateful when an officer comes up and says, time to take you folks home. Riding back in the airboat, you three pass two more airboats heading your way. They're full of stern-looking authority figures in dark nylon jackets. Clearly a bunch of law enforcement agencies have been alerted to this strange discovery. You wonder what they'll make of it. You wonder if anyone will figure out the mystery. From the way that first crew told nothing at all, you know you'll probably never hear an explanation. The end.
104.9 Pickup Country.
This message is brought to you by the Palcoming Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works towards its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Palcoming Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Palcoming Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at the Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network Bookmobile Wireless and use the same password for the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Palcoming Public Library's website at pcplky.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Palcoming Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcplky.org. The staff of the Palcoming Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe and social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
Hey, this is Don Rogers. The Palcoming Judge Executive has established the Palcoming Business Support Point of Contact to be Industrial Development Director Craig Dawson. He can be emailed directly at palindustrial@bellsouth.net, or you can visit their website at palcountyindustrial.com. Business owners feeling the strain of COVID-19 on their business should email Craig Dawson their concerns, questions, and any need for special resources. Again, the email is palindustrial@bellsouth.net. Thank you.
This message brought to you by Pickup Country, 104.9 WSKV.
Now, on to our next adventure, Secret of the Ninja by Jay Leibold. First, a special note on the ninja. The ancient art practiced by the ninja is called ninjutsu, the way of stealth or invisibility. It grew out of many sources, including Japanese fighting arts, Chinese war tactics, Tibetan mystical practices, and Japanese mountain religions. Mountain clans developed the art and passed it secretly from one generation to the next. Because the ninja were commoners, they were not held to the samurai's rigid code of behavior, and by subtle means, they could accomplish things a samurai could not. Ninjutsu is also a martial art and has always been practiced by both men and women. A ninja has many different skills. Each ryu, tradition or school, has its own mix of techniques, taught by the sensei, teacher or master, at the dojo, a physical place where martial arts are practiced. A student might specialize in hand-to-hand fighting, swordsmanship, or the use of various other weapons. He or she might learn how to move without being detected, how to scale walls and trees, or how to deceive an enemy with special tactics. Some ninjas use their art supply to defend themselves and their villages, others for in commando attacks, and some become hired assassins. Most of the adventures in this book are drawn from Japanese folk legends and beliefs. According to legend, the ninja were first taught their art by mountain, being called Tengu, which also taught them sorcery, or Kuji. Mystic figure positions, trance, and hypnotism help the ninja channel energy. Most ninja use these techniques as part of a spiritual way of living, but some misuse them to manipulate others. Thunder crashes and lightning splits the sky above you. With each such force, it seems the sky will shatter. You run for cover. Rain pours down in the sheets, pounding you like a fist. The storm seems to want to destroy everything beneath it. Once inside the sliding doors of the dojo, you stand with your friend Nada. Both of you soak to the skin and watch the storm vent its rage. Another tremendous clap of thunder shakes the building to its foundation. Nada casts a sidelong glance at you as if to say, "See what I mean?" The two of you sit cross-legged on the floor, unable to take your eyes from the tempest outside. "Third one this week," Nada murmurs. "And this is the dry season." The thunder and lightning finally give way to a steady downpour. Nada stands up and says, "Let's get you some dry clothes." You follow her back to a room where she hands you a towel and a kimono. As you dry off and change, you retrace in your mind the history of your friendship with Nada. You'd studied karate in California before spending a summer in Japan. There you met Nada, and she found you shared many ideas about martial arts. She introduced you to the new discipline called Aikido. A year ago, you moved to the city of Kyoto to pursue Aikido and more intensely. You and Nada became best friends. You were sad when Nada returned 3 months ago to her family's dojo in Nara. But you have kept it in close touch. Now, as you tie your kimono and prepare to join Nada for tea, you wonder why she called you so urgently to Nara this morning. "Strange things have been happening here," Nada says, pouring hot water over the crushed leaves in the teacups. "The storms are just one sign that something is wrong. There have been others." With a reed whisk, she stirs the leaves into a green froth in each cup, then gives you one. You hold it in both hands, letting the warmth seep in. "But even without the signs," she says, "I can sense a presence here, and that is new, yet at the same time, ancient." You savor the bitter taste of the tea, and you look across the low table at Nada. "Maybe you should start from the beginning." Nada shifts her weight on the reed mat. "About a month ago, I started noticing things disappearing and reappearing in odd places. Then there were weird noises, shrieks, laughter. Now this week, the thunder. By themselves, they do not prove anything. It is Saki, which tells me there is a very powerful force here and wants to destroy us." "Saki?" "A kind of sixth sense. I heard it in my training many years ago. I can feel the presence of harmful intentions." "Did anything else happen around the time that these signs appeared? Any new arrivals or changes in the dojo? No. Wait. Yes. There was a new arrival, but not a student. It was a sword. An anonymous donor sent it to us, saying it was fitting that we should have it. We didn't know what to think. Was there anything unusual about it? You ask. To tell the truth, I didn't pay much attention. As you know, I'm not a big fan of weapons. Although, I have to admit, it was beautiful. There are some odd markings on the hilt. Have you talked to the sensei yet? A little. He refuses to believe we are threatened. But now that you are here, I will ask him to join us. The sensei is a slight man, with few wisps of white hair on his head and chin. He bows as Nada introduces you, then sits at the tea table, back straight, waiting for Nada to speak. Surely you are aware of what has been occurring in our dojo lately, she begins. Yes, he replies in an even tone. But we've discussed this. In my opinion, it will pass if we remain calm. Did you hear the thunder today? Nada insists impatiently. It is true that in the old days, such a storm was taken as a sign of war, but... He shrugs. Nada stands up. Sensei, we must do something. A presence here wants to destroy us. The sensei looks at you. Surely Nada's mother could see in a future that she named her child. Do you know what Nada means? Doesn't it mean the rough, open part of the sea where navigation is difficult, you ask? Exactly, the sensei responds, smiling. But someday, perhaps when she becomes sensei herself, she will learn patience. Your attention is distracted by several greenish lights, the size of fists flickering above the cypress outside. What are those? You ask. As Nada and the sensei turn to look, a bolt of lightning comes from nowhere and strikes the tallest tree, splitting it in two. You cringe at the thunderclap that immediately follows. Then there is silence. The sensei looks stunned. Nada is bristled. Now are you convinced? She demands. What more do we need? That was our sacred tree. We must defend ourselves. The sensei bows his head. Nada, you are right. I did not think such things were possible. Thunder and lightning attack us. You would think we were back in the days of our ancestors. Perhaps, Nada says, the days of our ancestors have come forward to us. What do you mean, Nada? The sensei asks. As I was telling my friend, I feel an ancient presence here. Saki tells me it is hostile. I don't know how else to explain it. It may be kami. What's a kami, you ask? It's similar to a spirit, Nada says. Spirit never dies, only circulates. Everyone and everything has a spirit, and the spirit can filter through the world around us. If a kami is bothering us, it's our job to find out what it wants. The sensei looks back and forth between you and Nada. Then he places his palms on the table and says, Nada, I am old now. You must be the one to comfort this danger. You come from a long line of warriors, though for many centuries they have practiced their art for peace, not war. Nada bows to the sensei. So, he says, leaning back from the table, what course of action do you suggest? There is silence. The rain has stopped. You speak up. Maybe we should take a look at the sword and try to track down the person who sent it. The sensei nods. A good plan. There's another option, Nada says. She hesitates before continuing. I said the presence seemed very old. We should go back in time to find its origin. The sensei glances sharply at Nada. She holds up her hand to stop him from speaking and says to you, I'll explain later. Let's just say we should consider it a possibility. If you think you should try to track down the donor of the sword, text the number 79. If you think it's a good idea to go back in time, text the number 20. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to think it's a good idea to go back in time. How can we go back into the past, you ask? Well, Nada says, first I must tell you something. Do you remember when we first met? One of the things that brought us together was our interest in moving beyond more aggressive martial arts in favor of Aikido. We talked about how Aikido drew on inner balance to give us not only a means of self-defense, but also a way to live. In your case, it was karate, and you left behind. And you too, you put in. That's not entirely true. You see, my family has, for many centuries, been a ninja clan. I was trained in ninjutsu. It takes a moment for this to sink in. Then you ask, why did you stop? One never really stops, Nada replies. I just wanted to focus on Aikido. But I did put away my tools of ninjutsu. I was afraid of what was happening. Afraid I was on a violent path. It's the old problem. If you invest too much time in learning the techniques of death, you tend to want to use them. Perhaps someday, when I am wiser, I will resume my training. You nod, absorbing this information. You'd heard amazing stories about the ninja from your mother. In addition to Bujutsu, ninja were skilled at stealth, invisibility, and even magic. You'd always been curious to learn more about ninjutsu, but now it turns out your best friend is a ninja. My training included Kuji, Nada continues. It's a kind of sorcery that calls up certain forces in the universe. Once you begin to tap into these forces, the stuff the present moment is composed of, matter and time, starts to seem very fragile, and also quite changeable. It's like learning to open a door you didn't know existed. You would have to understand the principle of Jin, the sensei says. Jin means illusion, Nada explains. Think of the physical world, including our bodies, is a conglomeration, and can and will be dissolved. There are ways to slip between the cracks, if you can find the right vibration of matter and time. I know this is a very general description, but to go into any more detail would take literally years. There's only one problem with your plan, Nada, the sensei says. It's too dangerous. You have not practiced Kuji for years, and you know how risky it is to go into the past. But it's our best hope, Nada protests. With your help, I think we could pull it off. At least could try to find out more about this Kami, if that's what it is, before you risk such a thing, the sensei says. How? You ask. Tatarigami, he replies. Trance. But you or I could never be the vehicle, Nada says to the sensei. That's true, the sensei says. He looks at you. It's like being hypnotized, Nada explains to you. The Kami is invited to speak through you and lets it wants to be known. But it is just as dangerous as going into the past, if not more. The Kami may possess you. But we could have Tatsumo and the Shu Jinjo priest conduct the trance, the sensei counters. Still, if it's especially powerful, Kami, Nada's voice trails off. If you decide to agree to be put into the trance, text the number 58. If you rather not and want to go straight into the past, text the number 45.
You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
we have decided to agree to be put into the trance. I'll do the trance, you say. The sensei calls Tatsumo, the Shunryu priest. Soon, Tatsumo arrives. He directs the two benches he brought into the room and placed facing each other. He sits you on one, then takes the seat opposite. Nada and the sensei take places off to one side. Close your eyes, Tatsumo says, and empty your mind. Clasp your hands in front of you, breathe from your middle, clear your mind as much as you can, let it go blank. Now, he continues, open your eyes and look into mine. Focus on a spot directly behind my head. Do not take your eyes from mine. Tatsumo removes a gohei, or sacred wand, from his sleeve and places it on the bench, then begins to recite a series of prayers. As you look through his steady black eyes to the spot behind his head, you can feel yourself drifting away. Tatsumo goes into a rhythmic monotone chant. Then, in a sudden spasm, ties his fingers into a knot. You recede further and further from yourself, until only a tiny bit of you is still in the dojo. You seem to be observing the scene from a great distance. Tatsumo's fingers contort into knots of increased complexity, and the chant intensifies. Abruptly, he stops, places the gohei between your clasped hands, and resumes the chant. The small part of you, still dimly aware of your surroundings, sees that the wand has begun to vibrate. The vibrations grow into a steady quiver. You sense another presence in the room. Tatsumo stops his chanting, places his hands on your knees, and says, "Tell us, honored guest, who are you?" In a natural male voice, not belonging to anyone in the room, but which you hazily realize is coming from your lips, says, "I am..." But the name is blocked from your hearing by a sudden crushing weight on your chest. "What do you want?" you vaguely hear Tatsumo ask. At that moment, a wild fury is unleashed inside you. It lashes out in all directions, its enormous destructive force struggling to find something to punish. Thousands of voices scream, some for revenge, some for help. Among them, you can distinguish one tiny voice, your own, but you can't hear what it is saying. You have a pressing urge to escape the fury inside before it destroys you. If you try to break out of the trance, text the number 41. If you let it go on and wonder to find out what the kami wants, text the number 57. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
WSKV.
Tune in every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Pickup Country 104.9. Online, live, or on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcasts.
For the Pick Me a Story series, where you'll embark on a journey through the pages of different stories read aloud by featured librarians from the Powell County Public Library. Don't miss this magical experience. Sci-fi and fantasy, westerns, mysteries, and more. Sit back after dinner with the entire family and enjoy hearing new books read aloud in the comfort of your own space. 6 p.m. Thursdays right here on your hometown station, WSKV.
Hey, this is Sam L. Smith. You can stop the spread of respiratory disease like COVID-19 by covering your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throwing away that tissue in the trash, then wash your hands with soap for 20 seconds, or using 60% or greater alcohol hand sanitizer. This message is brought to you by Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to try to break out of the trance. You summon your last bit of strength and pull your hands apart, shaking off the trance. The gohei drops and everything goes dark. When you open your eyes, you are surprised to find yourself smashed into a corner of the room. Nada and the sensei strain to pin your limbs to the ground, and Tatsumo pounds you on the back. When you see you have snapped the trance, they relax their hold. You are drenched with sweat. "Do not get up," Tatsumo says, pushing you back to the floor. "Lie still." He begins to massage your legs. The sensei rubs your arms. "How did you break out of it?" Nada asks. "I don't know," you say. "I just realized I had to before it was too late." "It's a good thing," she replies. "Yes," Tatsumo adds. "You were in the grip of a very powerful kami. You were lucky to escape it." "What did we find out?" you ask. "Enough to convince me we must go into the past to track down the origin of the kami," Nada says. "Apparently, you were possessed by the kami of a warrior who lived long ago. As far as we can tell, he was enemies with an ancestor of mine, and is trying to fulfill a curse against my family." "So, we must go into the past to find out what the curse is trying to pacify it?" you say. "Exactly," the sensei agrees. "But first, you will have to train for a few days. Not only must you learn the manners and customs of the past, you must learn some basic ninjutsu techniques, which you may need to confront this warrior." Three days later, you're ready for your trip into the past. Nada explains that the energy from the sword and the kami will direct you to the time and place they come from. You sit in the empty dojo and meditate before Nada begins. She has you count down with her as she hypnotizes you with samin jutsu. 10, 9, 8, 7. The last thing you remember is Nada twisting her fingers the way Tatsumo did, while putting you in the trance. When you open your eyes, you have just enough time to see you are standing beside Nada in a road near a feudal Japanese village. Before being nearly run over by a samurai dressed in full battle gear, he stops, out of breath, and stares at you. His face looks earnest, but frightened. "For your own good," he says, "I suggest you get off this road and hide somewhere, anywhere." "Why?" you ask. "Because any minute now, the Yakuza band will come through here on horseback." "Who are they?" "You're lucky if you've never encountered them. They're a bandit samurai who plunder towns and villages. I agreed to defend the village up the road, but that is when I thought only two or three Yakuza were coming. Instead, I found out at least six are on the way." "We'll help you defend the village," Nada says. "Don't be ridiculous," the man replies. "You're not samurai. Even if you were, we still wouldn't have a chance." "We have our own means," Nada says. The samurai shakes his head. "You can escape with me if you like. I'll try to protect you, but only a fool would stay and face the Yakuza." Nada, however, doesn't move. "It's up to you to say something." "If you say to Nada, 'We should escape while we can,' text the number 31. If you say to the samurai, 'Stay and defend the village,' text the number 64.
You are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Text 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811.
You're listening to WSKV.
This message is brought to you by the Powell County Public Library. All checkout dates have been extended until further notice, and there will be no late fees on any account at this time. As the library works toward its reopening date, you can expect our book drop service to return soon, as well as our new innovative curbside service. For more information about these services and the innovative programs we offer, keep an eye on the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page for any and all updates. Free Wi-Fi is still offered at the Powell County Public Library, which is located by Stanton Elementary. To access this Wi-Fi from the comfort of your vehicle, just select the network Public Library Wireless and use the free Wi-Fi password, PCPLKY65. Free Wi-Fi is also provided at the stationary bookmobile, which is in its new location at Clay City Elementary. To take advantage of the bookmobile Wi-Fi, just sign on to the network, Bookmobile Wireless, and use the same password from the main library, which is PCPLKY65. Flyers containing all of this information are posted on the doors of the main library and on the bookmobile for reference. Although the library isn't open to the public just yet, you can still check out our online catalog by going to the Powell County Public Library's website at pcplky.org to see everything our digital collection has to offer. And you can check out digital library books, audiobooks, and magazines with the free Libby or OverDrive apps in the Google Play or App Store. All you need is the barcode number on the back of your library card to have access to thousands of ebooks and digital materials. For any questions, just message the official Powell County Public Library Facebook page or send the library an email at info@pcplky.org. The staff of the Powell County Public Library encourages the community to continue practicing safe social distancing methods as our community opens back up so that we can all be a part of Team Kentucky.
There are simple things Kentuckians can do to avoid COVID-19. Wash your hands often with soap and water. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Disinfect frequently touched surfaces and avoid sick people. Find the facts at kycovid19.ky.gov because we're all part of Team Kentucky.
This message brought to you by Pickup Country, 104.9 WSKV.
We have decided to say, stay and defend the village. Stay and defend the village, you say to the samurai. The samurai hangs his head. Many samurai are proud to die in noble failure, but not I. However, since you are both willing to stay and fight, I will join you. Good, Nada says briskly. Now show us where the best spot is to lie in ambush. The samurai, who introduces himself as Sashami, takes you to a place where the road drops into a narrow little gorge, thick with trees. This looks perfect, you say to Nada, and she agrees. You get out your gear and set up an ambush. Moments after you've taken your positions, you hear the thunder of the hooves on the road. The Yakuza come galloping through the gorge, two abreast. From your perch in a tree, you start the ambush by pulling a rope that taut across the road, sending the horses of the first four riders to the ground. Sashami jumps out of the woods to take on the first two. As the second two are getting up, Nada flies from the tree opposite you, landing with a knee on the shoulder of each and knocking them to the ground. Two more are coming on horseback. You knock one out of the saddle with a shuriken, a star-shaped metal-throwing blade, and the other you toss a metal ring attached to the end long cord. He catches it easily and smiles, prepared to pull you out of the tree, but you snap the cords so that it wraps around his wrist. Then you pull him off his horse. Just as you finish this, you see that two more Yakuza are coming. You must deal with them yourself somehow, since Nada and the Sashimi are still occupied with the ones on the ground. You wonder if you could get the last two with a flying leap like the one Nada made. But you also remember that you have a string of firecrackers that sounds like gunfire that when ignited. If you try the leap, text the number 56. If you light the firecrackers, text the number 101. Just text your decision in real time to 606-663-2811. That's 606-663-2811. The first text will control the next choice at 606-663-2811. We have decided to light the firecrackers. You toss the firecrackers in front of the last two Yakuza, sending staccato reports like gunfire through the gorge. The effect is better than you hoped for. The horses rear and turn, the other Yakuza panicked at the sound. We're surrounded! One cries. They turn and flee, following the two on horseback. Nada and Sashimi allow them to escape, making sure their horses stay behind. You climb out of the tree, and Nada congratulates you on the firecracker tactic. "It was a brilliant application of a technique of illusion," she says. "When hopelessly outnumbered, create the illusion of having a greater force." Sashimi bows to both of you. "Had I known I had such skilled ninja as allies, I would have hesitated to confront the Yakuza." "Do you think they'll come back?" you ask. "Oh, no," Sashimi assures you. "They won't return after the treatment we gave them." Sashimi goes to explain that he is a ronin, a kind of a freelance samurai who has no master, who travels without looking what work he can find. "With your help, I fulfilled my obligation to the village. Now I will fulfill my obligation to you. I am at your service." "We're all tired from the fight. Let's make camp and discuss this in the morning," Nada says. At breakfast, you warm your hands around a bowl of rice porridge while you, Nada, and Sashimi wait for the sun to come over the ridge. Sashimi reminds you of his pledge to help you. "Maybe you can help," you say. You show him the paper with the sword marking on it. "We think it belongs to a ninja clan." Sashimi's face drops when he sees the paper. "You know it?" Nada asks. "I cannot tell you everything," Sashimi replies in a low voice. "For even now, it is painful to recall. I will simply say it is a secret crest of the evil Miyamoto ninja clan. It is because of the greed and deception of their leader, Senshiro, that I was forced to leave my master, my town, and my family." "We too have been threatened by them," Nada says. "It would be my pleasure to help you against Sachiro," Sashimi tells you. "I can take you two to the Miyamoto castle. It is 2 days from here if we take the Yakuza horses." You ride for 2 days through snowy passes, grassy plains, and feudal towns until finally you reach a small village. Sashimi points towards a narrow valley above the village and says, "That's where the Miyamoto castle is. I know the secret way up. Follow me carefully." Before you reach the castle, you hear a yell from the woods. Cautiously, the three of you dismount to investigate. You come upon a clearing in which two ninja are faced off against each other. Each has a sword. They kneel and bow, then slowly approach one another. "That's Sachiro," Sashimi whispers. "And he's got the sword, the one that's at the dojo now," you add. You grab Sashimi's sword from him, ready to rush out and help the other ninja. But when you wonder if it's a good idea, maybe you should let the two ninja fight it out themselves. And with that, we will continue next week. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for Pick Your Own Adventure, and I hope you'll join me again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here live on Pickup Country 104.9 WSKV or online at listenlikealocal.com. If you missed us this time, remember you can listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com with your mobile app or from the Google Play or App Store or on Apple Podcast. I wonder what crazy situations we'll get ourselves into next time here on Pick Your Own Adventure. Remember, you are the one controlling our stories. With the power to text, your faithful choices choose which path our story takes. Be sure to tune in next time, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Until then, stay safe out there and be healthy at home, my fellow adventurers. This is Clarissa Arvin, Bookmobile Librarian at the Powell County Public Library, signing off.
Broadcasting 24/7 from the Stanton and Urban Studios.
Pick up,